Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
The outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Hello, my friend. Welcome back.
Steve, good afternoon on a beautiful spring day in State College, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, gorgeous. Can't wait. Yes, I can. In fact, let's go play golf. No, I don't think so. All right. Tomorrow will be pro day. Spring practice number two is today. James Franklin met with the media on Monday. What was your quick takeaway from what James had to say?
Well, I mean, you know, defense immediately talked up the returns of Adisa Isaac and Beeman. I mean, somebody asked about him, but he made the note of how important it was. Like, here's a real chance for these guys to be impactful. And I kind of think that they need, Penn State needs that, right? Because it's really three guys, because you got those two who didn't play at all last year and PJ Mustafer, who missed half the season. So the balance of being a really good defensive line and being having a lot of questions to answer depends on three guys. And there's some uncertainty there, right? I mean, will they all be ready to roll 100% beginning of the season? That would be my big question.
And then the next part is, it really kind of slipped a little under the radar, but Sal Wormley missed last season as well, and it looks like he is back in the line. You know, when he talked about his starting offensive line, he was one of the five guys he mentioned.
Yeah, I guess he was kind of under the radar, but yet really highly considered a year ago, you know, and of course we never saw him, but there's another position where, yeah, there's promise, but there's some depth issues right now. I mean, you're going to need a guy like Sal to step up, stay healthy, you know, find a place. Because right now, you know, yeah, I think you have your center. And I think you certainly have, you know, people are really high on Landon Tengwall getting a spot and Wallace, but you need more than three guys you can count on, right, that you know about. So it's a big, big spring for them and to me also for the linebackers.
Right. Yeah, no, it is for the linebackers because, you know, Curtis Jacobs is making a move. So he's going over to where Brandon Smith was. You got Jonathan Sutherland making a move. Now, he had done some of this during the course of last season mm-hmm. where he played that outside linebacker spot. And then no Ellis Brooks, so Tyler Elsden, Kobe King. So what's your thoughts on that group?
They're going to have a lot of proving to do, you know. I think because Catchier and Tyler Elsden have been backups, can they be more than that? You know, we don't know. Kobe, you know, I think a lot of eyes are on him to me this spring. You know, he has a chance maybe to become one of those guys that the coaches and people are talking about, like some of, you know, one of the, like Kalen, like his brother was last year, right? I mean, everybody was talking about his brother last spring. I think Kobe has that chance. He seems very mature and physically ready. You know, can he step up in the middle? I mean, that's huge because, again, you know, I know things change in football, but that's Penn State's position, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch Penn State football for 20 years, you know, there's so many great names and Curtis Jacobs can't do it all on his own for sure. So, you know, but then the other thing is how will that change that position a little bit with Manny Diaz? You mentioned Jonathan Sutherland. I think that's not just because of they need a linebacker. It looks like they might change a little bit the responsibilities, right? And how that third linebacker plays like a flex position and Sutherland's got a big opportunity.
Yeah, no, there's no question he's got a big opportunity along the way. Everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. Everybody wants to, you know, because two prominent ones have come in. You have a prominent starter back. You have a guy that when he filled in last year in the Rutgers game did a heck of a job mm-hmm. out there. So, look, it's great having all of them. How do you view that spot?
I view it in some ways, what's going to be happening in front of them, you know, because so Sean's going to be your guy for the start of the season, no question, right? So I think if the offensive line is just steady and the running game is going to get better, I'm thinking, somehow. I think another key that people forget is the tight ends were, everybody was really hopeful for what they were going to do last year. It didn't, the production really didn't go there, but I expect a big step up from that position. So if those things in front of Sean Clifford even themselves out, steady themselves, I think that just makes him better. That's going to make that position better. I think when those things are in a line, Sean can be really good. And I think that now you go into the spring and the summer with, I think you really have a number two guy where, to be honest, last year nobody knew if you really had a number two guy.
Right.
I think Bayou looks to me like, yeah, he can handle the backup spot. And we know it now, I think, from looking at what he did against Rutgers and specifically. So I think the position is in better depth and hands, you know, with, especially with those first two guys. I mean, the young guys get all, are going to get all maybe the talk a lot this spring, but, you know, to me it's learning, right, for them more than anything. I guess we'll, you know, Bo Prabula's from York, so he's a big point of our interest, but, I mean, you know, see them throw it around a little bit the end of April, but I think it's a lot of learning for them. And that, what better position, I guess, could they be in to have a guy that's a six-year kind of mold themselves after a little
bit. Well, exactly. Look, just knowing, just the language, the terminology is different than in high school. Yeah, I mean, there's so much of a learning curve here that, you know, it takes a little bit of time. That's why them being early, I think, is a big, in early is a huge plus.
Yeah, because, and they're all coming from different places and positions. Like, Drew has this amazing physical upside and ability and arm strength, but yet his, maybe his weight training and such was, it sounds almost maybe a little bit behind Prabula, for example. So he has some catching up to do in one area and he needs some time. Whereas they need to get them, their bodies ready. They've never been through a Penn State, you know, this is their first time through a Penn State weightlifting and training situation. So, you know, to me, it's just great having them. I wouldn't put a whole lot into how they're going to impact things this quickly on the field. I mean, I would think you really, you hope not. You hope you don't have to, right? I mean, you hope that Sean stays healthy. I think if things in front of him are pretty good, Sean can be a much better quarterback than what maybe people give him credit for. Because I think you saw it at the beginning of the year in a lot of ways last year.
His record pre-injury in 19 was outstanding. His record pre-injury in 21 was outstanding. That can't be lost in this. Because, you know, I mean, the losses or the troubles always happen after he got hurt and was having to fight through something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, I mean, people have to realize, like, actually look back and look at it game by game by game by game, and you'll say, oh, okay, that's when he got hurt. Oh, now look at how he played.
And the thing now is, at least you have a guy, I think, behind him that you're not so worried about that happening. But you're right in that he, you know, I think when he doesn't have the weight, when he's healthy and doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders to try to do everything himself,
and that's
then
what, right.
He's a good decision maker, and I really like I think he's a great decision maker on running, for example. I think he's really good at knowing when to run and how to make the most of it, probably better than any, I mean, you know, even maybe better sometimes than McSorley was at times. I think he's great at deciding that.
And that's where having a ground game that is at a consistently high level can help him, because you get late in games, and if you're not really running the ball well, your play action game isn't really all that effective because nobody's going to respect that fake.
No, and there's no reason why Penn State's run game should not take a big jump this year.
Right.
I mean, Mike Yurcich has another year. I think he's going to know way better what he has to work with and what they, you know, what they will be able to do with what he's asking them to do. There might have been a little bit of a transition on that part of things that didn't quite work last year, but he's got the horses, I mean, with the running backs, and I think things probably, I mean, they got to look smoother, Steve. They can't be worse running the ball than we were last year.
Anything on a pro day tomorrow that you're going in interested to see?
Well, because I'm from York County again, yep. That Drew Hartlob, I'm going to be watching because he's an under the radar guy, but arguably the fastest guy in the team. And I think a guy like that tests well. You know, if he runs somehow in the 4.2s, people are going to take notice, and he's going to have a shot. I mean, Dan Chisena's on a roster. We know about guys that have had kind of unusual means of making it to the NFL from Penn State. I mean, in a way, Chris Hogan, though he didn't play football for him, you know, he made it. I mean,
Ethan Kilmer.
Right. I mean, he's an interesting under the radar guy that is like this thing is made for Drew in a way. If he performs well, because he has that type of 40 speed, you know, I mean, the kind that will make you stop and make NFL guys take notice of maybe what he could do. He's going to work out, I think, at receiver, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He's never done that, but you know, and then, I mean, everybody's going to be looking at the headliners. I don't know how much Jahan Dotson has to prove it to something like this.
I'm interested to see if Jahan runs his 40 tomorrow, because I know he wants to get into the 4.3s, and he can. Mm-hmm. And so I know he wasn't thrilled with his 40 time out there. I'm interested to see if he runs tomorrow.
Right. So that's interesting. You know, I guess just keeping an eye on guys like, you know, you forget about a guy like Eric Wilson.
Yes.
You know, who was Penn State's steadiest lineman in a lot of ways last year, and no one, and sometimes people forgot he existed. But he has a lot to prove because he has a lot of great intangibles that I think he might be able to stick on a roster, but can, you know, how will he test, you know, how will he show what maybe his future is just physically for these guys? So big day for someone like him.
Look forward to seeing you.
Great. Me too.
It's great to have everybody back and, you know, and around. So
I think it's there Monday, but I think this week is a big kind of symbol of things back a little bit more back to normal with all the in-person stuff, which is a good feel, and heading into a real blue-white game.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of attendance-wise and maybe a feel for it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know we've been going through normal with a small N. Maybe we're getting closer and closer to the capital N. So
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Great talking.
It's great talking to you too, Frank. I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, you too. Have a great rest of today.